Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, and welcome to Energy Speaks Back, powered by B2B Energy. My name is Paul Webb, and I'm the founder of B2B Energy, and I'm your host. Weekly, I present to you energy experts from around the world. Welcome to episode 128. Our purpose, as always, is to provide a good understanding of energy management knowledge from around the world, which is available today for us to deliver savings that impact on our planet. We would like to thank utility people who are creating a better career and future for people in our industry, and Esther Energy, who are our certificate partners. My guest today is 8 years of age, and his goal already is to become a climate change leader. So without any further ado, I give you Arfin. Good afternoon, Arfin. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you. And you, I'm going to let you know now, you're the youngest person that's ever been on our show today. So thank you very much for breaking that record for us.
You're very welcome.
Brilliant. And I'm very excited to meet you. I've seen all your YouTube channels and things. I've been watching them. I'm very impressed with what you're doing. And I think you're an inspiration to everyone. So I'm really excited about today and listening to more about your story. So I think we have met on LinkedIn. And we've started chatting and I've been speaking with your dad. So for the benefit of our audience today, can you tell us about yourself, your background story, and tell me where you've come from and what you're doing?
Okay, I am one of the youngest climate activists in the world. And my sustainability story started when I was 6 years old. And my father was working on a sustainability project called G-Carbon Mode. It was during the COVID-19 lockdown, so he had to do online meetings. And I got very interested when he said new words in the online meetings that I never knew before, such as climate change and sustainability. And then I asked him, what is sustainability? And I got inspired because he is doing something that could benefit my future. So I offered him that, hey, Baba, why not I make a video about your company's vision and mission? And we made that, and my dad's team liked it. So they offered me to be a part of their company. And I propose myself as the chief man of sustainability. I'm sure you haven't heard this phrase anywhere in the world. And one time I had a broken table. My mom was about to throw it away when I said, Mom, why not you recycle the broken table? She said, how? I said, maybe we can reuse it into a slingshot board. And then we did it. We took the marker, we drew the circles, and it was all done. So you can imagine that I saved one table from going into the landfill. That one table actually matters. So you can imagine that if everyone spared at least one item from going into the landfill, it would be a very big impact.
Exactly.
Another time, me and my family were going for groceries, and my family was about to buy onions from Australia. But suddenly I said that, guys, why not you buy these onions from Malaysia? Because the onion from Australia had some carbon mileage in it.
Yeah.
Carbon mileage. Actually, like where the food is transported from and all of those things. And in Australia, they either shipped it by plane or by ship. But either way, it still produces carbon.
So on that subject, do you believe in eating local foods and supporting local produce around you? Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Basically, I'm seeing that... This actually relates to this phrase called think globally and act locally. It basically means that the problem is global, but the solution is local. For example, at my home, I save electricity when not needed. I use as much daylight as I can utilize. If I shower for 10 minutes, I reduce it to 5 minutes or less. And most importantly, I buy local products to help the local economy. So you can imagine that if we collect every individual sustainability efforts, it's what we can ultimately resolve the global issue.
Yeah. Can I tell you a little story? When I was your age, at Christmas, we used to have a fruit called the tangerine. And I used to love it. And that used to always remind me of Christmas, because my mum would bring them home a week before Christmas would start. And I used to really enjoy the fact, oh, it's Christmas, because we got the tangerine. But now I have a tangerine. I can have that any day of the week. And I've lost that passion for Christmas now. It really does damage the feeling and the traditions that we've had. Do you have any ideas of, or have you got any memories of that yourself?
One example is like, we have a kind of festival called Eid. It is actually called, it's our festival, our religion festival. And usually we used to buy a lot of clothes. And that clothes were basically water intensive, because then you know that the cotton is the cotton. Well, if you want to make cotton, you have to make cotton with water, right? So we use the water from the river, and sometimes we use drinking water.
Mm-hmm.
So if you use all the drinking water for clothes, then what are you gonna drink? You cannot just drink Coke and Sprite. So I mean, it's important,
To tell me, you've mentioned quite a few times on your videos about the climate behavior hack. Tell us more about that.
I invented the term climate behavior hacks when I was 6 years old and started making videos about it. Climate behavior hacks are small, tiny habits that you can use to put a sustainable impact on your life. And for example, if you shower for 10 minutes, reduce it to 5 minutes, utilize as much sunlight as you can, say no to single-use plastics, and use less water. And this is an interesting thing that one time I read an article about how microplastics are found in blood, and I actually made a song about that. Well, plastic positive. If you allow me to sing a part for you, I can.
Please do. Why not?
Positive. The blood would be plastic positive if you use too much single-use plastic. Your blood would be plastic positive. So, do you want A positive, B negative, O positive, or plastic positive? No, plastic positive. You cannot have plastic positive. And yeah,
brilliant. Have you got many songs that you've created?
I created like 2 to 3 songs. Two of them are short, while one of them is like that climate positive is like 1 minute. So
right, and I think by creating that song, it helps people remember the words, doesn't it? It really does sink in when people listen to that. And can we find those videos on YouTube? Do you have a YouTube channel?
I do have like 36 videos and 112 subscribers.
Wow, 112. That's brilliant. That's brilliant. And how engaging are people? Do you find people are engaging with you?
Actually, people engage in my videos, because then when you watch a video, it feels like a story, right?
Yeah.
So like when you're watching a video, you get engaged with the video. So like people like remember the words and what does it mean and all of those things.
Yeah. Can I ask you, your followers, are they of your same age group, or they range for older people?
Basically, most or all of my subscribers are basically older than my age.
Right.
Like adults.
Yeah, yeah. That's brilliant, because you're leading the way, I think. You're actually showing us all what we should be doing regarding these hacks. And how many hacks do you have? How many hacks you put together?
I've given about, I don't know, approximately 30, 40 hacks.
Right.
Approximately.
Do you think one day that you might write a book about these hacks?
Yeah, of course.
Brilliant. I'll make sure you let me know where to go and buy that book. So I'd love to read that book. I think it'd be amazing. So tell me, why have you chosen to be a climate activist? That's a strong thing to want to do from the age of 6 to 8. What's made you choose that?
That is a brilliant question. Let me answer it. So you can see that climate change is happening because temperature is rising, glaciers are melting, and sea levels are rising. So I don't know what will be the condition of this earth when I'll be 20, 30 years old. And our daily practices might bring up the temperature to 4 degrees Celsius at the end of 2100. But as you know, according to the Paris Agreement, the temperature should be ideally 1.5 degrees Celsius or 2 degrees Celsius by the end of 2100. Not any more than that. Otherwise, we'll go downhill, and you can imagine what can happen next. And you can imagine that there is flooded land. If there's flooded land, how will farmers grow crops? And if they can grow crops, then how will they feed 10, 12 billion people at the end of 2100? Another example, polluted air. If there is polluted air, then you have to always walk around wearing masks. And if you always wear masks, then how can you do your daily routine activities? So that's why I am keen to preserve, I am keen to do a part in preserving our Earth ecosystem so that we and our coming generations can see the same beauty that our ancestors had seen. And most importantly, it is called, in our faith, we believe it is called continuous charity. If you ask me in Arabic, it is called sadaqa jariya, which means that continuous charity means that if you give some advice to people, even after you die and people are still following you, your advice, you will get everlasting reward from God. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, that is amazing. And tell me, do you think we can stop the climate change? Do you think we can make a difference?
Yes, we can, but first we need to take a step forward. Climate positivity.
That brings me on to my
Okay.
next question, because you mentioned that before. What is climate positivity?
That is a good question. Climate positivity is basically like you don't look at climate change. You don't look climate change as a problem. You look it as an opportunity to innovate. For example, energy. It is true that 76% of total global carbon emissions come from energy, and the main factor of energy is fossil fuels. So imagine if you could have bring down that 76% to zero. Wouldn't it be great for us? Yes, it would be, but we need to take a step forward like you play chess. And that step forward is to transition from fossil fuels to the alternatives, which are renewables. The renewables are nuclear, solar, wind, and hydropower. I mean, isn't these things better than fossil fuels? And if we transition from fossil fuels to the renewables, we can actually kill the king in chess, like, right?
Kill the king. Yeah, a good move. And it'd be what we would call checkmate. Yeah. Yeah, brilliant. Obviously, you're talking about renewables there. So, a lot of our listeners here today are energy experts and they're looking to manage energy. So, for me, three chess pieces. Okay. Chess piece number one is the environment, growing trees, planting trees, reducing carbon emissions. The next one is the renewables, what you've just said, all those different renewables, transitioning to those. And then the third chess piece is energy management and reducing energy, getting people to turn their lights off, getting people to turn their set points down, not having it too cold, and really working with people to control energy. So we use less carbon energy out there, or less renewables to enable us to use that renewable elsewhere. So do you talk about that in your videos, reducing energy?
Oh, reducing energy. Yes, I recently made a video about how to reduce the energy contribution from 76% to zero. I recently made that.
And someone tells me that you've, and I've recently heard, that you're unschooled recently. Can you share your experience regarding that?
Okay, so my unschooling is going really, really well. It's better than school because my school routine was hectic. I used to wake up 6 o'clock in the morning and go on a van that was consuming fossil fuels.
Right.
And by the time we arrived there, it was 7. And we needed to spend a full 9 hours before going back at 4 in the afternoon. And I thought those 9 hours were not that productive enough.
Mm-hmm.
But now I'm feeling very productive because you can see how many classes I have. I have swimming classes 2 times a week. I have Arabic class twice a week. I'm learning Arabic as a language. I have mental math, Soroban, twice a week. So basically, Soroban is like a Japanese traditional way of using abacus.
Right, yeah.
And I have art and craft class every Saturday. And my parents are helping me with the core subjects such as maths, English, geography. And by the way, I'm studying about Italy right now, and it's very interesting.
And your English is excellent, by the way. You speak very good English. That isn't your first language, is it? What's your first language?
My first language is actually English because I started reading when I was 9 months old.
Really? Wow. Yes. And what sort of thing? And what sort of things do you like to read?
Basically, I was starting from the start, like ABC, 1, 2, 3, and all of those things.
Yeah, and what do you like reading now?
I'm reading like very challenging books to read, like Hard Words and all of those things.
Yeah, excellent. And can you recommend any books to our audience today for them to go and read?
Yes, I can recommend one book. Breaking Boundaries.
Right.
The book by Greta Thunberg, and they actually tell when all the temperature status, how much temperature was in 1989 and how much temperature was it in 2018. And
mm-hmm. So you mentioned Greta then. Have you met Greta, or would you like to meet her?
Yeah, I would like to meet her. She lives in, I believe that she lives in Sweden, right?
Mm-hmm. And you'd like to travel to go and meet her, maybe at the next COP. You might get an opportunity to meet her then, yeah? Brilliant. So that brings me on a subject. Would you like to travel and talk about this across the world?
I don't have any travel plans yet. But firstly, I want to meet Ellie because she's a wonderful person. Without her, I couldn't have got into this podcast, and she helped me throughout my sustainability journey, and I just want to thank her by meeting her in person. Secondly, I want to travel to UK to meet you, because then there is many things that I can learn from you, and basically you have offered me to be a complimentary member of Junior Energy Expert.
Excellent. Yeah, we want you on our team. I think you can help our team significantly with all the work you've done already and the work you're going to do in the future, I'm sure. So do you have any, you're 8 years of age, and you know, I respect that, but do you have any goals in your life? I ask this of a lot of people, whether they have goals. Tell us about your future now within this industry and what you're doing.
See, I have some short-term goals and some long-term goals, but first allow me to share my short-term goals.
Go on in.
My short-term goals are to be an example for my generation, because I started this sustainability journey at 6, and he started at 11 and you started at 16. So it's a very big opportunity for me to be an example of my generation. And my long-term goals are to become an innovative climate entrepreneur and leader, and also study in Cambridge University. What I want to do as an innovative climate entrepreneur and leader is to, as I mentioned earlier, that I am keen to do a part in preserving our Earth's ecosystem so that we and our coming generations can see the same beauty that our forefathers had seen. And you must be wondering why do I want to study in Cambridge University? This is one example that inspired me. My favorite sport, which is football, was invented in the 1800s. But
Right.
those people were playing without rules. On one occasion, they banned football for several decades until two persons who were studying inside Cambridge, they said, "Why not we create some rules to follow during football?" And they actually created a set of 11 rules to follow while playing football. And we use those rules till date. So this is why I want to go to Cambridge University. Maybe I can innovate or research something that may be helpful for millions of billions of people.
Yeah. You mentioned my favorite word there, football. Tell me, do you like football in the UK? Do you follow football teams there?
I follow football teams in England,
Right.
and I also follow in Argentina. As you know, Argentina won the World Cup,
Yeah. You like Messi, yeah.
and yeah, Messi as well.
I like him as well. So I'm going to let you into, I don't normally broadcast this, but I support a team in London. They're called West Ham United. And I follow them. They're my team. And I probably would say when I was 8 years of age, my dad brought me my first football kit, of the West Ham. And that is a great memory for me. When I think back when I was eight, running around the park with my West Ham football kit. And from then I've always followed them. And I'm lucky enough to look after, I do some work at their stadium for sustainability. So it's an amazing journey for me to be following. So one day you'll be playing football, I reckon, for one of those teams. Do you think you would like to do that?
Yes, I would love to do that. And actually, my voice, my I am little, but my voice can spread to the corners of the earth.
I think they can as well. I think they can as well. And I think what you're doing is actually spreading very well as well. So it's come to that time in this interview where, and I know you've listened to some of my interviews, where I asked someone to give something back to the industry as a takeaway for someone listening. You know, there's going to be thousands of people listening to this that are watching the video on YouTube. So is there something you can give back to provide inspiration to others?
Yes, there are two things. Firstly, please subscribe and like my channel. You can visit it directly by typing arfin.com, arfeen.com. And after you type it, you can see my channel directly, and you can have a look about of all my videos about climate behavior hacks and sustainability topics. And secondly, if I'm not mistaken, most of your listeners are parents, right?
Oh, sorry.
Most of your listeners are parents, right?
Yes.
So my advice to them is, don't worry about your future, worry about your kids' future, because try to make them understand and prepare them to resolve the global problems such as climate change, which will come on later on in their life when they will be 20, 30 years old.
Exactly. Why wait? Let's inspire the young now. I've written a book for 4-year-olds to learn about climate change. I'm going to send you a copy of that book so you can see that. I'll make sure we get your address and things later. So is there anything else that you want to talk about on this? Because we've gone through all the questions that we both wanted to talk about. Is there anything else that you want to talk about?
Yes, I have one question.
Oh, really? You're going to give me a question?
Yeah, okay.
Go on.
Okay. Can you tell me your sustainability story and give some advice to young climate leaders like me?
Wow. So my story starts when I was at school and I wanted to be an electrician. I've always wanted, and, you know, I used to frustrate my dad to pieces because I used to like taking things apart, thinking I was going to make something from them, but not putting them back together again. And my dad used to get really frustrated with me. And then one day he came home from work and said to me, "Son, look, there's this job going at the power station, nuclear power station. They're looking for apprentices. I think this is something you should do in the future." And I looked at this and I thought, yeah. And my dad said to me then that energy is the future of what we're doing. And I was 16 then when I started. And then I started this journey of working at a nuclear power station. And on a regular basis, I'll be driving to work and there'd be young teenagers and youngsters coming up to me, trying to stop me to go to work because it's frowned upon, nuclear industry. So they was trying to stop us from generating nuclear power. And then one day I was walking around the power station because I used to work late nights. And the turbines were screaming, making all this noise. I'm thinking, why are we generating all this electricity? Who's using electricity at 3 o'clock in the morning? Surely we could be doing something better here and saving energy. And I started to transition myself into energy management. And I went to college and I started studying and I wanted to become an energy manager. And in them days, energy management was very new. Not many people wanted to take that journey. Organizations, you know, organizations make significant amounts of money. They didn't think about saving money. And over my many years of my industry, I've seen different drivers, legislation, different, you know, climate change. And I've started to witness climate change myself. The UK this year, we didn't have a very good summer. That is due to climate change. I'm living in Thailand currently. And we've got torrential rain. Yes, it's the raining season, but it's been raining for 7 days nonstop here because of the typhoon. There's a typhoon going over China. So we've been impacted on a regular basis, and I'm seeing that. And I decided really that I wanted to make a difference. I've also got young children, so I want them to have a better sort of life going forward when they get to my age. And I want to leave this planet in a better shape than it was when I arrived. That would be my biggest goal to do. I'll be honest, I don't think I will see the planet change in any way, but I think we can slow it down. I think you in the future, your generation, are the people going to stop all this going forward. So you are a massive inspiration to us, all of us. Did I answer your question?
Of course.
Thank you. So I think you have been absolutely amazing. I've said to some people today that I'm going to do an interview today and it's going to blow my mind, and it has, 100%. You are brilliant. You are a true inspiration to your generation. And I think everyone needs to go onto your YouTube channel and go and follow you and just support you on what you're doing. And I can see you. I want to interview you every 6 months so I can see you grow into becoming this climate activist. Are you up for that?
Yes, of course.
Brilliant. So I'd like to say thank you very much for your family today supporting you and bringing you here today. And I'd like to say, lastly, you and your family stay safe in these times.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yeah.